Open your Bibles, if you would please, to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew. We'll be looking at chapter 28 that we read from in verses 1 to 10. Matthew 28, 1 to 10. The four Gospels, you know, all tell the same story. They tell the story of Jesus Christ. What happened in the life of the Lord Jesus? There is diversity in the way the stories are told. In other words, a different perspective from every one of the four writers. But all of them are telling the same story, and all of them do a great job, and they all just dovetail together so it makes perfect sense. To understand all that happened in the life of Christ, and particularly this morning on the day of resurrection, we have to look at all four accounts to get the whole story. But our text is Matthew chapter 28, and I'm going to bring in just little portions of other scriptures from the other Gospels to sort of round it all out for us this morning. Listen, pay attention, rejoice. We serve a living Savior. He's risen from the dead, and we rejoice in that and worship Him by reading of that account this morning. Our faith is built on the facts that are presented here in the Scriptures. Interestingly enough, the facts are not embellished at all. It's as if they deliver the facts with no particular passion. They just tell the story in very simple words. And that's by design. No embellishment. You don't have to embellish the truth. It's recognized as a truth just because of what it is. We're going to use Matthew's account as our text, and I'll bring in some other portions, some of them giving you time to turn, others I'll just read. Let me sort of set the stage. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26, there was the institution of the Lord's table in the upper room over in the city of Jerusalem. In chapter 26, there was the prayer of the garden in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was betrayed by his friend in that chapter and arrested. He was illegally tried by the Jews in Caiaphas' palace. You come to chapter 27. There's the Roman trial that we listened to and talked about in Sunday school. Jesus was officially rejected by his people in chapter 27. Jesus was crucified. He yielded up the spirit in verse 50, and in verses 51 and 2, there was a great earthquake. I'll read that portion a little bit later. The veil of the temple was rent in two, the Bible says, and thrown back. And the graves, some of the graves of the saints in Jerusalem, were shaken open. The graves were opened when the earthquake took place. In the last verses of chapter 27, Joseph of Arimathea buried Jesus. It's Friday evening, and the tomb was immediately sealed and a guard placed there. Chapter 28, our text. All hope was gone. Jesus, the Messiah, who we loved, who we recognized as God in the flesh, he's dead, he's gone. That's what they thought. But it's not over yet, is it? All is not dark. Because on the first day of the week, 3 days after the crucifixion, the Lord Jesus Christ arose from the dead. And he was seen by many people, risen from the dead, God in the flesh. They saw God. Chapter 28 and verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. It's the Sabbath. The Sabbath, they count their days a little differently than we do. Back in the Jewish economy and culture, sundown one day to sundown the next day is the day. So the Sabbath day would be sundown on Friday through sundown on Saturday. That's the Sabbath. The first day of the week would be sundown on Saturday until sundown on Sunday, the first day of the week. So these events that we're about to read about took place early in the morning on Sunday, the first day of the week. Why did the ladies come so early, someone might ask? Well, The burial took place on Friday. It's growing close to evening. It was 3 o'clock when the Lord died on the cross. At 6 o'clock, thereabouts, the Sabbath begins. They didn't have much time to do the burial. And so it was not finished, we would say. The Jewish Sabbath was a day of rest, and nobody could legally work on the Sabbath day. And so they couldn't do anything all of Saturday, and they were anxious to get out there. Love brought them to the tomb with the first ray of light on the first day of the week to finish the job, to give it a woman's touch, if you will, because they loved the Lord Jesus. There may be a second reason. The body of Jesus had been dead since Friday. It's in a climate where it would begin to decay quickly, they thought. And every hour counted. Remember how it was with Lazarus? And his sister Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh." And they were afraid to open the tomb of Lazarus, but the Lord Jesus knew better, didn't he? And they didn't need to worry about this tomb either, because there was no death and corruption in this tomb. There was life in that tomb early that morning as the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. The verse says in verse 1, "Came Mary Magdalene and the other Marys." The other Mary was another woman. She was the mother of James and Joseph. Mary Magdalene was a lady out of which the Lord Jesus had cast out devils, 7 of them. 7 devils. Other women were there too, but Matthew doesn't name them. They're named in the other Gospels. They came to see the sepulcher, to see it. They knew where it was because on Friday, according to Matthew 27, 59 to 61, just back a page, you can see there the end of verse 61, and Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. They had been there when Jesus was buried. And so they knew exactly where it was. Their purpose, Mark 16, 1 says that they came to anoint the body with sweet spices. They wanted to anoint it. That was something that was done regularly. When a person died, they would wrap them in linen. And in the linen, tucked in the linen as they would wrap, they would put spices. And it was their preparation for the dead, for the grave. And they hadn't finished that job, and so these ladies came to do that. Verse 2 says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat upon it." That would have been something to see, wouldn't it? There was a great earthquake, though, that morning, obviously before the ladies got there. This is the second earthquake in 24 hours here. If you'll look at, I'll ask you to go back to chapter 27 and verse 50. Let's read about the first earthquake. The Lord Jesus is on the cross. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Have you ever read that before? They arose, and look what else, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, after the Lord's resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. How about that? You don't ever hear about that. There was an earthquake. It unsealed the tombs. That first resurrection morning when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, there were other saints who came out of the tomb and walked around in Jerusalem. Wow, what a sight that would have been. Probably with their glorified bodies, probably to be caught up to be with the Lord when he ascended back to heaven. The Bible doesn't say. They could have died again and been buried again. Oh, wow. Just think of how this marked that occasion. There's brother so-and-so. He died last year, and he's here today. He's walking around in Jerusalem. It marked that day. It was a wonderful day. Both earthquakes, though, marked the unsealing of closed tombs, sealed graves, as is indicated in the next phrase in chapter 28 and verse 2. For the angel of the Lord descended, he rolled back the stone and he sat on it. The Lord had already risen. Jesus Christ did not need anybody to let him out of the grave, right? The stone was not to let Jesus out, it was to let people see in. The angel moved that stone out of the way so that people could see in. At this point, sinful man has been reconciled to God. At this point, the eternal plan of redemption is completed. At this point, a path is opened up from earth to heaven. Man can come into the presence of God again because our sins have been paid for. Our sins have been paid for. Verse 3 says, his countenance, speaking of the angel, his countenance was as lightning and his raiment white as snow. An angel's countenance like lightning. What do you think of lightning? Well, it's fast. Well, that's not probably not what it's talking. He was sitting on a stone. But he was also bright to look upon. The brightness, the expression of glory. His raiment was white as snow. Also suggests his purity. It's a holy angel, an angel that lives in the very presence of holy God. Verse 4 says, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. For fear of him. Why were they afraid, you would ask? Well, okay. This man that had been crucified and they were guarding his tomb, he had been called the King of the Jews. And they said, the soldiers would say to themselves, and they said that he claimed to be God. And he could do miracles and all kinds of strange and weird things. And so they're kind of afraid, perhaps because of that, the event of the crucifixion. The earthquake that had shaken the ground now twice in just so many hours. The stones that were rent in two when the Christ gave up the ghost on the cross. The graves were open. The centurion's profession. This must be the Son of God, he said. The earthquake that morning that they had just experienced. The stone being picked up and pushed away by an angel as if it were no effort. The responsibility to guard the tomb was probably weighing heavy on their mind. Because someone who allowed the prisoner to escape was worthy of death in that day. And so they were afraid, and they became as dead men. It doesn't say that they were dead, they were as dead men. All of these supernatural things happening, all of these catastrophic events taking place, and their little natural minds couldn't contain all of this spiritual supernatural events that were taking place, and so they fainted. They fainted. One commentator says, Christ's resurrection is just as terrible for his foes as it is comforting for his friends. The Jews guarded the tomb only against the disciples. They didn't want the disciples to come and take away the body of Jesus and say, somebody stole it. They didn't think about guarding it from Jesus who was within, who could come out of that grave at will and did when he rose from the dead. Verse 5 says, and the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye. Let me say that different. Fear not ye. The women, they're afraid, but don't be afraid. You don't need to be afraid, he said. For I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Mark tells us that the women went into the tomb, and there they saw the angel. Luke says that when they went into the tomb, there were two angels there. Now, if there's two, there has to be one. So both of them are true, right? And one of them, no doubt, was the spokesman of the two. Question, why would the announcement come by women to the disciples? Why would the angels tell the women to go? Why not the angels themselves sent to tell the disciples about the Lord Jesus? Why didn't God do it differently? Well, one person says because the women were the most overwhelmed in sorrow. And so they should be the first to have the joy. That sounds okay. They said also that the presence of the women in the tomb sort of silenced the Jews. The falsehood that would be spread around that his disciples stole the body. that somebody suggested, well, God wanted to reward the women's active love for the Lord Jesus Christ. But the best possible answer to this, why would God announce by the women to those disciples? Here's the answer. The disciples weren't there. They were somewhere crying. They were moaning and mourning because the Lord Jesus was gone, and the ladies were down there where they should have been at the tomb, not expecting what they found, but the women were there at the tomb, not one man. The angel says to them, "Fear not ye, fear not ye." Fear means to be struck with terror. It's a present imperative in the original language, which means stop being afraid. The ladies were no doubt afraid. I would be, wouldn't you? Walk in the tomb, there are two angels there, bright angels giving us a message from God. Why would the ladies be afraid? Well, Jesus, who had been their guide, was gone. Not every day that you talk to an angel. That would be a little bit frightful, perhaps. The Jews were hostile toward followers of Jesus. They had already crucified one innocent Jew. Okay, then, that's why they should be afraid. The angel says, fear not. Why should they not be afraid? Well, because the mighty angel says, you don't need to be afraid here. What if you walked into this building alone some late evening and were greeted by an angel? And the angel said, don't be afraid. I would say, yes, sir. I would say yes, sir, to anything. An angel, obviously an angel spoke to me. It says here in the verse, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Jesus the crucified. So here's a second reason that they didn't need to be afraid, because the angel said that they were aware of why the ladies had come. This pastor is walking into this dreadful situation, into a hospital room where there's a man deathly ill who does not know the Lord. When he walks into the room, the man looks at him cheerfully and says, hello, preacher, I sort of expected that you would come around here. And the preacher is immediately put at ease. Nothing to worry about now. He's going to receive me well. The angel said, we know why you're here. And the ladies could take comfort in that. Verse 6 says, he is not here. The angel said, he is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. He is not here. He's risen. So a great reason to not be afraid is the Lord Jesus, who had been crucified, Jesus is risen. It says in chapter 24 of Luke that then they remembered the words of Jesus. Jesus had promised that he would be crucified, he would be buried, but that he would come out of the tomb. You say, well, where did he promise that? In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 23, in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 19, and other places as well. The angels invited them here in verse 6, come and see the place where the Lord lay. So reason number 4, there was evidence that the angels' testimony was a true testimony. What did they see when they looked into that tomb? A little later, Peter and John were there at the tomb, and John stooped down and looked in. Do you remember what he saw? He saw the grave clothes, and they were sunken down, it says. And the napkin that would cover his head and face was folded together and put alongside. If somebody stole the body, they wouldn't take the time to unwrap it there. Nor could they do what was done. Grave clothes were just sunken down. They were just settled down. There was order still. It was still wrapped together and settled down. Jesus just came out of the grave, out of the bed. Out of the grave clothes, out of the grave, and was free. He was risen. He was risen from the dead. And so they saw him. They saw these grave clothes. Verse 7 says, the angel said to them, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. So they didn't need to fear. He told them to fear not. They didn't need to fear because if Jesus is alive and we're going to see him again, we can look forward to that. That's good news, not fearful news. The angel said to them, go quickly and tell his disciples. It's a command. It actually means having gone quickly, tell his disciples. He's risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Is it possible that one could be risen from the dead? Is it possible? Do you think in the minds of the people in Jerusalem in that day could possibly believe that somebody could be risen from the dead? Not so many weeks before there was a resurrection. Do you remember who it was? Lazarus. You remember the Lord Jesus had him roll that tombstone back, the door from the tomb, and he said in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus hobbled out of the tomb, and the Lord said, unwrap him and let him go. They would believe in a resurrection. They'd seen it happen. They talked to the resurrected Lazarus. The angels told them, he goes before you. Jesus goes before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Jesus had predicted that he would go before them into Galilee in chapter 26 and verse 32. Why Galilee? Well, they're from Galilee. The disciples were mostly from Galilee. The ladies were mostly from Galilee. They're down here for the feast time. And they're going to be going back at the end of the feast, and they'll be back in their homeland, and the Lord would visit them there. And it was fulfilled. It happened exactly that way in Matthew 28 and verse 16. Look at that. Matthew 28, 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. They saw him, but some doubted. That's interesting, isn't it? Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. But some doubted. Some doubted whether Jesus was God. Some doubted whether Jesus really was raised from the dead. Was this really Jesus? You see, before Jesus was crucified, there were a lot of doubters. There were a lot of people on the fence about Jesus. And even seeing him resurrected did not usher them along quickly to totally accepting the Lord Jesus as their personal saviors. It took some time for some. Though these scriptures would certainly be fulfilled that we just read in Matthew 28, 16 to 20, it does not preclude. It doesn't keep the Lord from appearing to people before he meets them in Galilee. And so he did. Jesus Christ, the risen Son of God, appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to the other women. He appeared to the Emmaus disciples. He appeared to Peter. He appeared to James and John. He appeared to the disciples less Thomas that same day. He appeared to the disciples with Thomas a week later. Later on still, he appeared to 500 people at one time. 500 people saw the risen Jesus, God in the flesh. And 40 days after the resurrection, he was on the Mount of Olives and he ascended back to heaven, and they watched God go back into heaven. They watched him with their eyes. Verse 8, and they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy. The ladies were just given their commission by the angels, and they departed with fear and great joy. Fear and great joy, that's a strange mix, isn't it? Fear because they'd seen the supernatural. They could not comprehend the far-reaching implications of what was happening that day. But joy because their friend, their Lord, was alive again from the dead. Joy because they had received a promise that they would see him again. And so they did run as they were commanded. Go quickly. And verse 9 says, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. So Jesus met them in his resurrected body. He appeared before those ladies as they would go from the tomb back to where the disciples were in hiding. And he greeted them with this common greeting, all hail. And they fell at his feet and they worshiped him. Obviously, the fear was gone. Obviously, they saw him for who he was. When they heard his voice, they knew it was the Lord Jesus. Any doubts had been removed. And they were awestruck with the presence of God, with God in their presence. And they fell down on the ground and they worshiped his majesty, the Lord Jesus, the Christ, the Lord, the King, the Savior. Verse 10 says, "Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." So don't be afraid. Same message as the disciples. Ladies, don't be afraid. There was obviously no cause for fear. Every cause for joy. Don't be afraid. Go tell my brethren. Go tell my what? My brethren. There's evidence conveyed in that God has completely pardoned the disciples who deserted him from the Garden of Gethsemane. And conveys this close relationship with them. He's calling them his brethren. A relationship that's made possible for us too by the resurrected Christ. Brothers and sisters, he's alive. Jesus is alive. We could consider the infallible proofs of that. There are some. The predictions that the scriptures make are recorded accurately in the scripture and the fulfillment of those prophecies. The predictions of the Lord Jesus Christ right before he went to the cross. The empty tomb was there. The risen Christ seen by more than 500 people at one time. How about the miracles wrought in the early church in the name of Jesus Christ? How about those fearful disciples who scattered from the garden? They gave their life preaching and would not deny the faith. There's a lot of proof that Jesus is God, that Jesus is risen from the dead. With respect to these truths, we are all placed in one of two categories. We're either like the soldiers and non-believers, or we're like the women and our believers. The soldiers, let's look at verses 2 and 4 again. And behold, this is chapter 28, verses 2-4. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake and become as dead men. They were only angels. They couldn't handle seeing the angels. They were so afraid they passed out. Those who do not know and trust in Jesus Christ will someday fall before him. They'll be so afraid and fall down before him. Others will be like the women. Verses 9 and 10. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and they worshiped him. Those who know Jesus Christ, those who trust Jesus Christ, will fall before him one day at his feet. In love and worship without any fear. We have a choice. Every one of us has a choice. Believe and be saved, or reject the Christ and be lost forever. There's a choice to be made. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this opportunity to fellowship with you around your word. I pray that you would bless it, Lord, to our hearts. I pray for those who are here, Lord, who may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that you would save them before it's too late. Lord, minister to their hearts. I pray, Father, for direction and for guidance as we depart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.